This sermon is by Bible teacher Daniel Litton, the featured speaker on the Peace to Live By radio broadcast. This is the complete sermon without edits for time. To hear more sermons from Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. You can also contact the ministry at messages@peacetoliveby.org. Now, here's Daniel Litton.
Today, I want to talk about the importance of God's Word in our lives and to our lives. Indeed, it is pretty significant that we try to align our thoughts and behaviors in our day-to-day lives with the Scriptures, since they contain the truth to life. From the Bible comes the understanding of reality for how things really are, and whatever it tells us is the truth that we can live by. Without God's words, we would be wandering stars with no certainty to where we should go in our lives, or for that matter, where we will be spending our lives after this one. His words instruct us, they give us real life. When followed, our life experiences as Christians bear the good fruit of His Word. For sure, there has to be something that we base rules and morality on for our existence. We cannot make these up ourselves because we as humans don't naturally always do things the right ways. No, there needs to be an outside source that gives us the way we are to live our lives. We believe that this outside source comes to us in the Bible. Now, even though the Bible was written by human authors, we truly believe it was written by God Himself. He is the divine author. This belief is foundational if we are going to accept that His Word is special and above any other writings that come from the hands of humans. God used people to write His book, as that's the way He chose to write it, actually the way the world is set up, and at their core essence, they are His words. It's best for us not to get caught up in a human way of thinking, in a human perspective, by focusing on the fact that it was written by humans. Nevertheless, I want to look at the importance and greatness of God's Word today by examining a passage in Psalms, particularly Psalm 19. This psalm was written by David, the man who we understand was after God's own heart. He explains to us how impressive God's words really are. So if you'll turn over there or tap there, let's consider Psalm 19, starting in verse 7. Now, when you get a chance, read verses 1 through 6 to learn about how God has revealed Himself through nature, as I just briefly touched on. But today, our focus will be on the Bible. Psalm 19, starting in verse 7, the text says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 19 and verses 7 through 14. Let us examine this passage along with some other ones as I discuss the importance of God's word in our lives as believers in Jesus. Like David tells us here in Psalm 19, we note first that God's word, or law as it was sometimes called back then, is perfect, sure, and right. One of the first things you'll come to appreciate when you become a Christian is that God's word, the Bible, is perfect. It is perfect in what it states. We hold that there are no flaws or errors found in it. You should have been taught that by someone right after you became saved. We have to believe this as Christians because if God's word isn't perfect, then what's the point? In that case, it would be simply one book among the many books about life. It would merely be human opinion that is equal to every other human opinion. In coming to understand that the Bible is, in fact, true in every respect, this means we can trust what it says for every area of our journeys. We can trust God that He guides us into what is best for us and that He Himself is trustworthy. If His word wasn't trustworthy, then He would not be trustworthy. Jesus believed that God's word was trustworthy. Do you remember what He told Satan during His temptation in the wilderness? After Satan had tempted Him, He told him, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Food is important for our well-being, for our day-to-day living. We eat food to sustain our lives. Jesus especially, I'm sure, felt the hunger pangs at the point where He said this as He was fasting and facing Satan's temptations. Undoubtedly, food sounded particularly appealing to Him. But food, while it is important and given to us by God to sustain us, it is not the most important thing in our day. In fact, the most important thing that we should take in is the Word of God, every word that comes from the mouth of God, as Jesus said. Indeed, Jesus stated God's word is perfect, for He said elsewhere, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished." Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. Now, sometimes we come to the Bible with a critical mindset, questioning in our hearts if what is said is actually true. As I already established, we have to decide before we come to His Word that it is in fact true in everything it lays out. Otherwise, then we can just pick and choose what we want to take from it, and it doesn't become very effective for us. If you look at the pages of Scripture that way, you will certainly start to pass by more and more verses and passages you don't like until you have a completely false picture altogether. That's not a good place to be in, since it will lead us into error. All of God's word has to be considered as true, from the front to the back. This way, we can let it have its full impact on our minds, on our thinking. Recall, if God was wrong on one point, then we wouldn't be able to trust him. But Jesus reminds us that God is perfect and thus is not wrong regarding anything. See Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Returning to Psalm 19, we can note that David uses several different words to describe God's word, which are testimony, precepts, commandment, and rules. The Bible is testimony because it tells us about God and the lives of some of his saints. It also gives us his precepts, commandments, and rules. This is the truth from God's word that shapes our beings into goodness. Without knowing what is right and true, we would not be able to follow goodness in our living. The Apostle Peter told us in his second epistle, "His, God's, divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire." 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Thus, we need God's knowledge, his word, to have life and godliness. And Peter notes how God has given us his precious and very great promises to be partakers of the divine nature. That's a serious thing. That's true life. It is these promises that continue to make us more like Jesus by escaping the ways of this world. David also points out how God's laws revive our souls. When we are feeling down and out, God's word can bring us back on our feet. It can bring us out of the dumps. Sometimes we are down due to a certain life situation. Sometimes we are down and out because we are longing for something in our lives that we don't have yet. And sometimes things just in general aren't going that good, or at least that's the way we perceive our surroundings. Whatever the situation or case, the Bible can lift us up out of our slumber. It is written in Proverbs, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net." Psalm 25, 14 and 15. The Bible is able to care for our spiritual life and godliness. We are to fear God or reverence him for who he is, and this reverence of him, his greatness, is clean for us and will endure forever for those of us who know him. God's word also makes wise the simple. Any one of us average persons can comprehend the great things of life and gain measurable wisdom and insight in the virtue of studying God's word. The writer of Hebrews tells us, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, of discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Hebrews 4:12. By the scriptures we can discern both good and evil. By them we can know what is God's will and what is not. By following God's word, we are led into life and to the right and correct ways of living. James tells us in his epistle, "The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. James chapter 1 and verse 25. The Bible not only gives us answers for life's issues, but it also gives us liberty and its truth. So the commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes, and are clean, enduring forever. Through Scripture, we can understand morality. We can know the things God considers evil to be avoided, and we can be conscious of the things that are righteous. God clearly defines what is appropriate and what we should avoid. Humans derive different opinions based on what they think, based on their emotions, based on the elements of the culture in which they reside. We know, though, that truth cannot be developed based off people's opinions. Exactly like there are natural laws and order in the world and universe, so it is with morality and goodness. What is really true and good, clean and pure, is what God says is right. Now David states, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." It is true that in knowing God's word, we cultivate an underlying joy that is present regardless of our circumstances in life. We have this joy as no matter what is going on, whether good or bad, we are aware that God takes care of us as believers. The writer of Hebrews so clearly tells us of Jesus that he upholds the universe by the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3. There is nothing that filters into our lives which can separate us from God's love. God isn't helpless when bad things happen to us or around us, but he, being extremely wise, has the ability to work good out of each and every circumstance. Even though Satan and mankind has free will, God still has us in his hands. It is as God speaks to the Corinthians, "Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort." 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7. On a personal level, a terrific thing pertaining to God's word is the fact that it renews our minds into right thinking. Actually, at the time each of us became a Christian, all things became new. We became new creations with our old selves passing away. We were born again, as Jesus put it. And it was through the living and abiding Word of God that this was accomplished. Someone shared the gospel of Jesus with us, and we believed in those words, and thusly we were born again. The Apostle Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 12, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. So as we as believers are new creations, we are also instructed to renew our minds in Christ. And then we are able to live better lives based on the goodness that we have learned and cultivated into our minds. We learn from the pages of Scripture what is the will of God, which Paul called good, acceptable, and perfect. So then, really, it all comes down to the fact that the rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. As David said, there is nothing on this earth, no other book or even religion, which can bring us true life. The Bible is not merely one of many books that is completely true. Rather, the Bible is the only book that we can completely depend on. God's word is the greatest word to be desired because of its complete truthfulness and refreshment of our souls. David would say elsewhere in the most famous psalm that God restores our souls and leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See Psalm 23, 3 and 4. How does God do this? How does he lead us? Well, he accomplishes this leading of us by use of his word. When we read his word, it refreshes and restores our souls. It shows, gives, and enables us, by the power of the Spirit of God, to follow his righteousness. Now, the psalmist also points out the fact that, moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. The other trustworthy thing regarding the Bible is its warnings to us. That may sound kind of weird, but warnings are a positive because they keep us out of trouble if we will listen and follow them. God warns us about something because he loves us, not because he's a cosmic killjoy who loves to see us suffer as people and not to give us something good. No, God wants what is best for us, each of us individually. Warnings, when abided by, keep our actions in step and preserve our lives toward problems that could develop. At the moment we sin, in the most basic sense, we go against God, and that's not what we want to be doing. We want to walk on the best journey that we can, honoring God's word so that God will be pleased, we will be preserved, and others will be helped. Following what the Bible says gets us the best out of life. Continuing in Psalm 19, we read, who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Oftentimes we don't even know when we are sinning, and we do wrong so easily that we don't realize we are sinning. So God's word can show us new areas where improvement is needed, areas where we didn't realize we had a problem beforehand or had let slip over time. Sometimes we are sinning purposefully, even though we know better and know we shouldn't be. Sometimes we have secret pet sins in our characters, and the more and more sinning that we do, the more we let sin have dominion in our bodies and we lose control. However, our goal as Christians is to live in the best way possible, keeping away from incorrect thinking and actions by identifying them in the pages of Scripture. If we turn over to the New Testament, to Romans chapter 6, we can see a little section from the Apostle Paul, which sort of commentates on what David was saying here. Romans chapter 6, let's start in verse 12. We read, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." Romans 6, 12 through 14. So we see then that we as believers can still let sin reign in our flesh if we are not keeping our thoughts and actions aligned with God's truth. Once we keep on sinning, we give ourselves over to the power of bad habits, and Satan can even gain a stronghold in our characters. But by instead presenting ourselves to God, following his truth in our journeys instead of following sin and the ways of this world, we can gain true life and bad habits lose any dominion they have taken in our lives. We have been brought from darkness, death, into life in the Spirit. And as we are no longer enslaved to the Old Testament law, but instead are living under Jesus' grace, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to choose what is right. See John 1:17. Ultimately then, for each one of us, our goal in life should be, as David ends with, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." If we fill ourselves with God's truth and fill our minds with God's word, acting on those words, we will have sound actions and attitudes in our characters. Our words which we speak and our thoughts inside our minds will be aligned with the truth, God's truth, and we will then be more pleasing to him and truly helping out ourselves. Like I stated, in following God's truth, we live life to its fullest extent. Since his words are good, right, and pure, they give us life. Life only comes to us through God's word, through our Lord, the firm foundation upon whom we can stand and who makes us right with him. The Apostle John tells us of Jesus, "In him was life, and the light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." John 1, 4 and 5. I want to close with what Jesus said to us at the end of his foundational sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, and I think it brings some helpful insight into what I have talked about today with God's Word. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." The words we are putting into our lives matter. If we will follow Jesus' words, the things he gave to us, our constitutions will be built upon a firm foundation. On the occasion trouble comes our way, we won't have to worry, since our house is built on the rock. We have God on our side, and we are anchored in the truth. Therefore, in conclusion, it should be noted that God's desire for mankind, for people, is that everyone come to accept His truth through believing in His Son, Jesus Christ, whom God sent into the world to die for the sins of the people of the world. God wants to be in a personal relationship with everyone, and even though all of us have sinned against God, He has provided a way for us to reconnect, to regain that communication with Him. Jesus bore all offenses for all time when He died on the cross some 2,000 years ago. It was a perfect sacrifice for our sins in God's sight. Therefore, anyone who believes that Jesus' blood atones for his or her transgressions will be saved from any of God's wrath to come in the future. This invitation I am giving today is open to anyone who would believe in God. There is no sin or series of sins that you could commit that would disqualify you from receiving God's free gift of salvation. Any sin you have committed, no matter how heinous, is forgivable. God guarantees He will come into your life, making you born again so that you can live life to its fullest extent, becoming like His Son, Jesus. Don't think that God couldn't possibly love you, because God does love you. Remember what the Apostle John penned, "For God so loved the world, and that was why He sent His Son Jesus to die for all sin." God doesn't hate anyone. If you would like to be set free from the weight of your sin and believe in Jesus, all you have to do is pray a simple prayer like this. God, You are right about me. I have done things that are offensive to You, and I have not been in right relationship with You. God, please come into my life and forgive me of my sins, the things I have done that were wrong against You. I believe that Jesus is Lord of the universe, and that He came to the earth as a human 2,000 years ago and died on the cross for my sins, shedding His blood as a complete payment for everything I have ever done wrong or will do wrong. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead 3 days after His death, and that now He sits in heaven above with You at Your right hand. Please, Father, transform my life and make me like Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your love. Thank You for the opportunity to share this message, Your message, with others. I pray for those who have just accepted the truth, who have just accepted reality, that You would make them grow in their newfound faith, help them to be like Your Son, Jesus. I also want to pray for those who still have not accepted Your truth, that they would seriously consider these things, Your things, and that they would come to a place where they would willingly accept Your truth as You present it. Soften their hearts, Father, for we do not know when the end will come for each of us. Help each and every one of us today as we go from this place of attention. Keep from us the evil one, and remind us of Your truth always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Daniel Litton, featured Bible teacher on the Peace to Live By radio broadcast. To hear more messages from Daniel Litton, you can visit peacetoliveby.org. That's peacetoliveby.org. You can also contact the ministry at messages@peacetoliveby.org. This message is protected under copyright law, all rights reserved.